John 17, verses 1 through 11. Jesus prays to himself. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so he may give eternal life to all you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed your name to the men you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things you have given to me are from you. Because the words that you gave me, I have given them. They have received them, and they have known for certain that I came for you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Thank you. As we begin this message, as we think about the eternal relationship, as we understand what God has got laid out for us, for the knowledge, the awareness, let's go to him and ask his blessing. Loving God, as we experience life, and certainly the last few weeks and months, life has been quite different. But God, the constant is you are always here. You are with us. You lead us. You provide for us. We ask for your blessing on this service, on this message. God, that it is yours, that you would speak the words you want spoken. And certainly, God, that we would hear exactly what you have prepared for each one of us individually. And I thank you and ask that you would just provide that the technology would work, there would be no glitches, and that everything would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Eternal life. Have you really thought about what that looks like, what it is? Is it something that's out there? You know that it's in your future, but it's what it is. Do you have an image or a concept of what that may look like? Have you ever just stopped maybe along that quiet place that you go to and just ask God, you know, what is eternal life? I know that is forever, but what does that mean for me? What will that look like? We all probably have a little different view of what that looks like. For some, they use the word heaven. But what does that mean? Heaven means different things to different people. And you have to think about, is it just a destination? Is this just somewhere where I'm going to go at some point? But the question is, what then? You've reached this destination point, but what happens next? What do we think about? Where does this go? For most people, heaven is just a place you go to after you die to do what you enjoy the most. They see heaven as their place of party time. You know, whether heaven is immediate or it's in the future, I'm not going to get into that debate today. We can talk about that at some point if someone asks a question. But the point is, we will all die. And at some, you know, as children of God, as being saved by Jesus Christ, that destination is heaven or in a place in that future. But what happens after you're there? For those that like the party part of it, your heaven is an endless joyride full of your favorite activities. You know, if you like to golf, then you get to golf all the time. If you like to read a book, that's your perception of what heaven is. And in that world, in that thinking for a lot of people, anything you don't like will not be a part of your heaven, of the heaven that God has got planned for you. If there's things you really don't enjoy or like, that's not going to be a part of it in your world as you reflect on that. Eternal life is simply a synonym for living forever. And the discussion tends to revolve on, where will you spend eternal life? Where will that be? What will that look like? What are the aspects of that? Again, we're going to go back through segments of today's reading, John 17 and verse 3. Eternal life is to know you, the one true God, and to know Jesus Christ, the one you sent. So eternal life, living forever, is going to be knowing God, to living and sharing and understanding and seeing the multiple facets of God. And in our mind, at least in my mind, I'm thinking, that'll get old. But will it? If it gets old, it's because I've defined how much God can share with me, and then there's no more. But God is a God that doesn't live in the realm that I've created. He is far beyond anything that I can come up with. You know, we think of his throne and the angels falling down because they see something new all the time. And that's been going on longer than we have been on earth as human beings. And they still see new every day, all the time. Eternal life means life of the age, refers to a future age. A new kind of life will be enjoyed by those who have faith in Christ. So it's a future. It's not just a destination point. Maybe that's the beginning point of that future age. You know, we get, as humans, wrapped up in time because that's how we function. We mark our life from birth to death by time, our generations by time. God exists outside of time. He created time, so time has no bearing or control on him. So this future age doesn't have a time life, a life cycle. It is forever. And as humans, I know that's hard to grasp, but this is a God that we don't totally grasp either. I love the fact that I serve a God that I can't define. I can make pictures of, I can describe to a point, but they don't even touch how wonderful and magnificent he is. Within this prayer from John, and this is right before he was left to go through the garden, he was from the upper room. This is the final prayer that he was given. And within this prayer, quality rather than quantity. And, you know, we think a lot of times the reverse of that. We want more, but he is giving us the best. Jesus' prayer to the Father has three qualities to think on. Quality number one, knowing and being known. Verse 1, Jesus starts out with, Father. He knew who he was praying to. He knew his Father. Everything about God, he understood. He coexisted. And he knew he was asking and praying to Father, a very special, loving, caring personage, as he would refer to God. Jesus knows intimately who he is speaking to. When you pray, Father, do you realize, do you think about how awesome it is to speak to the Father? and know he hears? Verse 1 and 2, a shared glory, sharing their glory with one another. The Father and the Son reflect glory upon one another, as the verses say. There is no question of how wonderful and magnificent they reflect one another. And they also move to share their glory with us. The story of Jesus's life on earth points to every aspect of God, the triune God, reaching out and looking to and planning for every contingency so that we can have that relationship and that forever time in that future age with God. In John 17:26, I made your name known to them and will make it known, so the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. Jesus makes God's name known to us. The Father is known to us because of Jesus Christ. That glorifying the Father also extends to us the ability to reach into the heavens and to equate with God, to converse, to learn. Can you imagine living in a relationship where you are fully known? Just think about that. Fully known. There's no secrets. There's nothing that is hidden. There's no skeletons in the closet. But you are fully known and yet are still loved, and you fully know another. You're recognized. No secrets, no hiding, just pure open knowing. Nothing is unknown. This is who we can relate to. I asked you to picture heaven earlier. Imagine what life will be like to be unhindered in knowing the Father and being known and loved for all eternity. You know, we think of that. How am I going to relate and know God and recognize that this is forever and it will just ever increase in that relationship? But think about it on God's side. There's never a time he's not happy to see us. There's never a time that he will not, he'll say, okay, you've been here long enough. You know, you're fine. You can still go. He looks forward to talking and communing with us every day. And that will go on forever. That future age doesn't end his desire to spend time with us. Quality number two, giving and receiving. Go through today's text. After this message, when you have time, go through the text of the day, John 17:1-11. And count how many times you find give or giving. I think you will be surprised at the number, because God loves to give. God's gift to the world, it turns out that you are God's gift to Jesus. And we are gifted by God. He loves us. Eternal life then is to know and participate in this life of giving and receiving. We can do that at a very limited level from a human perspective. The future is beyond anything we can imagine. There are no boundaries. There are no barriers. There is a future of loving and participating in this life of Jesus, of God, as he plans for us. There's not any question on his side of how awesome he will experience life with us. Do we think about beyond just a destination point of eternal life, what that will look like as we go forward, as we think about living a life forever and learning and seeing things anew all the time? It's beyond humans' ability to really focus too far out there, but recognize that beyond anything you can imagine, there's more, and it's awesome. Have you ever found it difficult to receive help from somebody else? You know, as a human, sometimes that's a sign of weakness if you have to ask for help. Or if, certainly for many right now, unemployed, not receiving any extra funds of any kind, food, mortgage payment, rent payment, this fact of staying locked in their home or stay at home is becoming very difficult. And yet they have nowhere to turn when they think of purchasing food or those needs. But for many, it's a sign of weakness to reach out or to share or to let somebody know that I could use a little help. The other fear is to becoming obligated to another person. Does that gift have strings attached? Maybe they say there's not, but you know from past experience that anything that somebody or this person does for you, there's a string attached. There's an obligation that no matter how many times you may repay or take care of or make amends, that still comes up. They still remind you of, oh, I helped you out. God doesn't work that way. God does not give in order to obligate you. Anything he gives to you, any love, any relationship, any blessings that come from God are a pure gift because he knows you, even with all of the warts and all of the scars and all of the things of your life, he still loves you and he still gives to you without question. There's no string. He gives because in his very nature, he's a giver. That's a part of the DNA of God. He is a giver. His giving is always for the good of another. You know, we as humans sometimes will give a gift and it may not be the best choices. God doesn't do that. God's gifts are always perfect and always at the right time. We've received those. If you stop and think and reflect on your life, look back and think and see where God's hand came in and gifted you. And if you don't remember those times, it's okay. But maybe just in conversation, ask God to remind you, to show you some of those giftings. I don't think it will take very long for you to fill a huge volume of those gifts because you received and loved, and maybe you even forgot about them. God doesn't matter. He loves to give. And when he gives, every gift is intentional and it's tailor-made for you. You ever thought about that? You see somebody receive something, you go, that's an awesome gift. I'd like to get that. But then something comes along and usually it's better because it was structured and given by God specifically for you. Those recipients, as we think of those gifts, realize they were specific for you. He knows us best, way better than we know ourselves. And if we think of a gift that we'd love to have, he knows if it's the right one or not. And that's the beauty of it, because he knows more about us than we do of ourselves. The Father has given us Jesus Christ, his very Son. What greater gift can we have received? What greater blessing than having Jesus Christ given to us and loves us and wants to commune and share in a relationship with us? The main gift we have to give is ourself. You can't give anything greater or more important or more valuable than yourself. And when you give yourself to God, there's no rejection, no dismissal, no, okay, yeah, I'll take you, but, you know, it's all right. We are made to be that gift, warts and all. When you give yourself to God and others, made in His image, we will all be perfectly received. The joys and the shouts and the excitement of someone coming into the body of Christ. If we could hear, we would be deaf, because it is so awesome to contemplate and think how wonderful it is to have that gift and to see others experiencing that same gift. Quality number three, a unity of love. John 17, verse 11, the last verse that Paula read today. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by your name, that you may have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus did not want to leave us by ourselves, unattended. Not watch for. He asked the Father to protect them, protect us. Everyone that has been given to Jesus, that they may be one as Jesus and the Father are one. Can you contemplate and think about how awesome that oneness is? Sharing everything, a common purpose. There's no surprises. They know each other. The triune God is a God who lives in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1 John says that God is love. I don't know any way to describe how wonderful and how huge that is. It's easy. We've heard the words many times, God is love. Think deeply on what God is love looks like to you. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit's love for one another is so pure and perfect and undefiled that the best way to talk of it is they are one. They are so connected. One doesn't do something that the other one hasn't already been a part of. Jesus is saying that we are brought into a share of the oneness that the Father, Son, and Spirit have had for eternity. As you think about life on this earth, reflecting on the Father, Son, and Spirit existing for all of eternity, and somewhere in that mix, the plan was developed to bring mankind to this earth and to provide for every conceivable concept to bring mankind into that oneness with them. We get to participate in the oneness that love that they have is shared in the Trinity. And that's what is asked. Not demanded, not required, but asked that we share in His love. Sharing His love is relating to Him, but it also is relating to one another. Three directions that come from God's love in this prayer. The first one is co-lovers of the Father, Son, and Spirit. This is the oneness Jesus and the Father want to share with us in the Spirit, to be in that loving relationship with the triune God. Number two, co-lovers of one another. As co-lovers of God, we are also co-lovers of all the brothers and sisters in Christ. To be able to relate and share and appreciate all of our brothers and sisters, even in this short time, just being able to think and reflect on each other. Do you find it difficult to love others in the same way Jesus loves other people? I know there are some people that it's just tough to love. Their personality is just totally different than mine, and it is tough to love them. Jesus is showing us we are actually given to share in the Father's love for the ones we fail to love. It's not our own love that we put our confidence in. And for that person or those people that I struggle with and you may struggle with, from your perspective, don't just think it's, I can't love them. Love them as the Father loves them. Ask God to give you His love for them, to let His love shine forth, not just something that you conjure up on your own, but it's something that we can reflect and know that God is loving others through us. And we are called to share this love, even with those that we humanly may not care for or may not want to love. God does, and just ask that He loves them, gives that His love in us. Recognize God's love never fails. There's no failure when you involve God. The third aspect, co-lovers of the world. The very reason He has called those to Himself is so they can go out and be witnesses of the Father's love for the world. Missional, going out and sharing His love. What a gift. Maybe you can remember what life was like before you knew Jesus in your life. Maybe you're a second or third generation, and there's really never that time that you can reflect on life without God in your life, in your existence. But when you accepted Jesus and have that love in part, your life changed. Can you go back and think of what that was like, that change, that recognition of being a part of God's love? He loves the world with the same oneness of love that He loves His own Son. Jesus is loved by His Father completely. And His Father loves us as part of the world, of the world. As believers in Christ, we are called to participate in the Father's love of the world. Participation takes different looks for different people, but recognizing that the opportunities come along and respond. Allow that love to flow through you. It can be in many different ways and different forms with all different people. Does sacrificial love come for those who reject your faith? Do you love those that have turned on you, have been rejected by? Do you find your love for those who resist and even persecute the church or even you personally, running short of your staying power? It's not a fun place to be, to have a friend or a family member or a coworker or someone turn on you. It's a tough spot. Stop trying to love them with your love, because in some cases that's probably dried up. Because we'll never get there as a human to love people the way God does. But start receiving the Father's love and thinking about how He views other people in your life. Let His love fill those voids that you may have in yours. He is asking that you love the world with the exact same love He has for the world. I got to tell you, there's days that's a reach. That's a tough spot because I let me get in the way. But if I can get myself out of the way and let God's love shine forth, it is such an awesome thing to experience. When God calls us into His love for others, we must then defer Him as to what the love will entail and how it will look. It's not ours to decide, it's God's. If we show that love, we could not try and manipulate. We just let it be pure and simple and the love of the Father, let him decide how he wants to use that, not us. Never let that be a club or a string or an obligation, but just let his love, as he loves the world, as he loves all, let that come forth in through you. We are to be one with the God's love of the world, not love on our terms. And as humans, our terms sometimes get in the way. When you see that, stop, back up, and ask God to let you move beyond yourself and allow him to flow through you. Ask God to help you see others as he sees them, and to love as he loves. When I look at my grandchildren, that's an easy one for me to process. It is so easy to see and love them because I know God loves them. But if it's someone that has hurt me or caused me a lot of grief, maybe even continues to, that's a tough space to be. But it's the place we need to go to let God's love come through, that he will continue to use us as he reaches into the lives of others. Ask God to help you look past the sin that is so easily ensnares and see the hurt and angst in people's faces. People are hurting now, I won't say more than ever, but we're maybe aware of people hurting more than we've ever been aware in the past. Do they need the love of God in their life? Can you see, when you see someone hurting or causing all kinds of problems, is the thought that comes to your mind is they need God in their life? If you are in a position to share that, do so. If you're not, ask God that he would provide someone that is. Be forward thinking, outward thinking, and being missionally minded in sharing the love that God has given to you. Love everyone as they were created to be loved. That's not a command, it's an ask. If you know that you are loved beyond question, wouldn't you want to share that? Wouldn't you want to share what it is like to be loved by the God of beyond the universe? It's an ask. Spend some time with God and see what comes to mind. As we think of future with him, it will be ever knowing, ever learning. There won't be a time that we won't look forward to the next day, although in time, there won't be a time in that future. It will just be future, and it will be awesome. Heaven or death is not a destination point. I think it's a beginning. Take this week and reflect on this prayer, the last prayer that Jesus gave in the upper room, to share with all of us. As we conclude, we thank you for joining us today. We ask that if you have any questions or comments that you would like to make those, our website is listed at gcderby.org, Facebook, Grace Communion Derby. It is a joy and a pleasure to spend time with you guys today. As we close, let's give it to God. God, as we experience life, and life is truly an experience, we thank you for your involvement in our life. We ask that you would participate continually with us. Help us to participate with you. We thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.